Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But we're always streaming on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can listen anywhere, anytime. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. Go check that out today. We're also streaming on the iHeartRadio app as well as the TuneIn Radio app. So if you don't have the Odyssey app, but you've got TuneIn or iHeartRadio, just search for 92.9 FM. You can find us and stream us anytime, anywhere. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How's
Where are going? We tonight?
We are at Hampline Brewing.
Okay.
Over there on Tillman, where Connor normally does trivia on Thursdays, but I'm taking over there on Wednesdays for some music bingo. Come on down.
Go see George tonight for some music bingo. Of course, you can get all the events at CerritoEntertainment.com. Kevin, of course, will be hosting tomorrow's Writer Than Write trivia, 10:30 on the Jeff Calkins Show. My company today, he is, of course, the head coach and the team director of Team Thad. He's got his coach's polo on. He's looking good today. On socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, good day, sir.
Great day, hump day, great middle of the week.
So we don't have a mascot for Team Thad?
So we had a logo that we actually switched. We switched last year. It was the Thad logo. The circle with the 21 with the left hand.
Okay.
And we did it so many years that actually his wife do design, and we was playing around one day. And we did this last summer, and we started
playing. Oh, it looks clean.
Everybody liked it. Yep. It got a flow to it. She did it in black and white, and first it was like, oh, it didn't look good. We added our yellow gold still look to it and put it on the jersey, and the kids actually liked it.
It is funny how, like, now that so many players have gotten involved with AAU teams, like, the idea of, like, teams just being, like, the Memphis Blackhawks or the Bellevue Golden Eagles, like, we don't even have, like, mascots anymore. It's always just, like, Team Thad, or it's, like, Westbrook's?
Why not?
Yeah.
Team Durant. Most of the
NBA guys. They're more, like, slogans than the name, or, like, team names.
Yeah, most of the NBA guys don't do logos.
Yeah.
I think logos is a tad more school ball than AAU. AAU is somewhat, if it's a good AAU team, or even if it's not Jeffrey, they could call it whatever they want, but they end it with elite, like Blue River Elite
Bluff City Elite. Yeah, no, it's there's just add elite or gamers. I feel like something like that. You still see a lot of that in baseball, but I guess a lot of it stems back from originally, like the AAU programs were always associated with the church, and now it's all programs that are. I mean, you got your own building. You know what I mean? Like everyone's got their own facilities and whatnot.
No, no, it's different. You have all kind of things now, all kind of sectors of it. So yeah, it's definitely different, Jeff.
All right, so let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. We'll start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Want to get Coach's thoughts. His team plays the biggest game on Saturday this weekend. We got it's back, baby. The 90s are back. We've talked about this in the year 2025, 1990s college football's back. We got Miami and Florida State in Tallahassee on Saturday night. Also want to get his thoughts on whether or not Arkansas is the best job opening. Also, a couple of interesting quarterback rankings have come out as well. Jason Munn's going to join us at the bottom part of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the kickoff event. I don't know what we used to call it. It's the artist formerly known as Memphis Madness is now going to be balling on Beal. It's going to be on Thursday, October the 16th, 6 p.m. We'll get his thoughts on that. Penny had the Rebounders event this week, right? Was that Sunday? I think he had the Rebounders event on Sunday. So Penny spoke to the media on Sunday. Munns also has a mailbag up, so we'll get a couple of questions from that based off what he said, what Penny said, and a couple of his thoughts from his mailbag. Then we'll get into the list. Have you seen your boy Shador's response to Dylan Gabriel getting the starting job? Yeah. That. Yep. Coach Hurd's actually talking right now, just like Shador. Get his thoughts on that. Also, Diego Pavia's got quite the mentor program. We'll discuss that. Also, I think the Warriors might be loading up for like a, I wouldn't call it a last dance, but it's like a, it looks like a series finale. They're bringing back everybody. They're announcing it. Like Steph's bringing his brother in. Like Kuminga's going to be here until January until they could flip him for something. So get into that. Also some playoff baseball. Coach, did you watch your first baseball game last night?
So I did. I didn't pay attention as much as I should have. I'm a Yankees guy.
I just know that you only pay attention when the Yankees are in the playoffs.
And they played the Red Sox,
correct,
which is our biggest rival. But I didn't see it. So another game came on too, though.
So we had four last night. We also had Reds and
Dodgers.
Shohei nearly hit it out of the right field bleachers in Dodger Stadium.
He hit two, right?
Two home runs.
The first one was
the leadoff.
No. The first one was never close to getting out. That was just out in like 3 seconds. Like that was just a line drive that was like 20 feet in the air that got over the wall. The last one hit the concession stand back in right field of Dodger Stadium. So like he only needed to just get it up a little bit more and he was going to hit it out of there. So that was something to watch. Then we'll tell your story also during hour number two and we'll get out of here. But it's Wednesday, so let's fire it up. Let's buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, as Coach reminded us, it's always somebody's first time playing buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. So simple game. If you like it, if the statement you like, you want to buy it, it's something you want to have in your portfolio, it's an asset you want, you're going to go ahead and buy it. If it's something that you kind of disagree with, but maybe you're just kind of lukewarm on it in general, just go ahead and sell that bad boy. Be like, it's not that I vehemently oppose, but I'm just not down with that. I'll go ahead and sell that. If it's something you think's blatantly wrong and you think that is a popular opinion and you want to bet against it, that's when you short it. I basically never sell because I always just think if it's high, I just go ahead and short it no matter what, which would, as a financial analyst, probably end me. But that's why, the finance career never really got going. So let's start first and foremost. Coach, your Hurricanes are on upset alert this Saturday night at Florida State. Right now, last I checked, the line was 4.5. Miami favored by 4.5.
Going by your rules, I'm going to short it.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
That's I can elaborate.
Okay.
No, yeah. I forgot. We're on the show to let other people. My bad.
Yeah.
I got caught up in my feelings with my team.
No. You can tell it's game week. It's a big one.
You know what? I do think, and a lot of times, I'm not like a Cowboy fan, no disrespect. Like, no, we're not going somewhere, and I keep when I say this, I actually think that we have a vision this year. I think now it's college football. one week can throw you off. Yo, you can be
Florida State right now.
Headed to the right direction. I think we end their year, and they kind of let me down. My guy Phil Morant-Jahn, I'm going to give him grief this week. He's Florida State. We was talking about even going to the game at one point. And I got a lot of guys that love Florida State, but they actually let me down because it was supposed to be both teams this week in the top 10 or top 5, and I wanted to go in there and kick their butt then and there. So when they lost to Virginia, that's just typical Florida State. Can't hold their end of the bargain, and we're just going to, you know, do what we're supposed to do to them and put them down their home, you know, this week.
So the only thing that to me has me a little hesitant is gambling brain, which doesn't really equate to football. But it's the classic example. The same reason why gamblers last week loved Virginia. Home team, underdog, night game, gonna be rocking and rolling. Florida State hasn't really been tested in 3 weeks since the Alabama game, but they hadn't been on the road yet, and it was gonna be their first time in a tough environment, and it's a team that could score. That's the only thing that has me going, oh man, this Florida State line is like, it's just the line itself. Like, it's almost like if Miami were favored by 7, I'd feel better. But it's like the fact that now it's 4.5, it's like, oh my God, what do they know? But I'm with you in this sense that Florida State is clearly much, much improved from last year. But their lines of scrimmage are still nowhere near Miami's lines of scrimmage either way. And the other thing is, with Miami's lines of scrimmage, the one thing you have to, like, what will give you success, and where I give Virginia credit, for the most part, they did a really good job of rushing Castellanos and rushing him outside in and not letting him do what he loves to do, which is kind of float back, get outside the pocket and make a throw. Now, he's still a good player, and he did that a few times, but they did a good job overall night in, night out, or down in, down out. But Miami's a different class of athlete on defense. But the one worry I do have is Miami's not going on the road yet. But yeah. But you're going on the road with a senior quarterback, an eighth-year senior, whatever Beck is. There's no environment that Florida State's going to be tougher than that he's played in.
Yeah, he's coming out the SEC.
Right.
Now, Florida State have a great environment, but it won't.
It's a great – and they finished the stadium, and everyone says it's loud, but, like, are you telling me it's louder than Neyland?
That's what I'm saying. He didn't play it at Alabama, LSU, Tennessee. I don't know where. I'm sure he was in the SEC like 3 years, right? Or not.
So I don't think he played at Bama, because I think every Bama-Georgia game until this year had been either in Atlanta or a bowl game.
Oh, I got you.
I don't think he played LSU, but he's played at Texas. He's played at Neyland.
That's Tennessee. Right?
Correct. Played at South Carolina, which is a loud one. Like, he's been in big
probably
stadiums.
Played at Florida, right, for sure.
They always play in Jackson. That's the weird one. They play the weird, yeah, it's half and half.
Yeah.
But he's played in big environments.
Yeah, he didn't play it in enough. I think when you got a rival game, you do throw certain things out the window, right? So I'd be a fool if I wouldn't acknowledge that. Now, they said the same thing about Oregon State. Oregon treated them just like they should have. I think it's like 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
I think they really, because people were saying the line was getting close on that, and I'm not sure you would know.
So Oregon jumped up like 35-0 immediately. I think depending on where you got the line, like Oregon State scored with like 2 minutes left and might have covered. That was one of those weird like games that started like 11:30 West Coast time, but it's on in the middle of the afternoon, like you're in the middle like of everything. What were some of the other, this is to me, like, this Miami game is similar to the Florida game where everybody's coming in going like, I don't know, man, look at that line. Like Florida, I know they looked bad against LSU, but you got to like Florida here. You got to like Florida here. And it's like, the only thing that kept Miami from really blowing them out was the rain. Because once it started raining, Mario did the move where he looked around. He's like, Florida can't score. Like, let's not do anything stupid and turn it over here and keep them in the game. And I'm sitting there going like, Mario, there's a lot of heroes out here that have -9, not -7. Like, can we score a couple more times? Like,
on the gambling side, you need him. Yeah. Now, this is what's scary about Florida State in a good way. I watched that Virginia game because I was kind of wanting them to win.
Yeah, because you wanted the big game. Yeah, you wanted to be undefeated.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot more if you beat them when they're undefeated for them.
Now it was 50-50 because I am an underdog guy. So I'm like, man, these guys in Virginia probably hadn't beat too many, just the team, too many ranked people. They always looked at as the—
Heard, it's the first coach I can ever remember that truly was like hot seat, that kind of like survived it, and now everybody's like, he's our guy.
Might get a bigger job now, right?
Like, or like at least at the minimum, like that's the other thing. Virginia finally started doing. Remember, you and I were always talking about this. Like, I keep hearing that Virginia has money. It doesn't seem like they have money because they're not spending it.
Yeah.
Well, that's changing. Now they are.
Yeah, because some of them guys, I'm gonna be real, look good.
They had some studs.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was just a momentum game, but I'm looking at their game last week. I'm like, line looked pretty decent. Quarterback played well. Defense, you know, rushed to the ball up. So I was like, these guys don't look bad the more that, because, you know, they could have broke at one point. Florida State still came all the way back and it went to overtime.
No, I mean, so I was telling George this. The thing about that game that was interesting was it had the initial hallmarks of like, oh, this is how a team like Florida State gets upset. Virginia jumps on them like 14-0, like immediately. And the crowd's going nuts. It's all that. Then you look up at half, and it's like going to be 21-14, and it looks like Florida State's getting ready to go score again, make this a two-score game. You're like, okay, well, this is kind of what I thought was going to happen. Florida State's got better players. They're going to end up trouncing them. Well, then Florida State has a turnover. Virginia turns right back around and scores. All of a sudden, we're all tied up. And then it was just a back-and-forth game. It was like one team would score, then the other team would score. And even with Virginia, like, Virginia was turning it over. I think they had three turnovers in the game. Normally, like, if you're going to pull off the upset, it's like you had to play clean, they had to turn it over, and that's what evened up the game. It's like, no, it's just kind of went back and forth. It was like two even teams, and Virginia made a play on fourth down. Well, the tight end not catching it in the— He had 10 yards. My whole thing with that was I understand there were some people that thought the tight end for Florida State caught it. You had 10 yards to bring that in. Like, the ball hit him in the hands outside of the goal line. If you can't bring it and secure it in 10 yards, I have no sympathy for it. It was not clear that he caught it right before then. And by the way, I live bet Florida State there, and I'm sitting there going like, nah, man, you should have brought that. Like, you had multiple opportunities to catch the ball, and you didn't.
That was a crazy play because it's like he— just when you was finna give him credit 2-3 times for catching it, then the replay show it got back loose again somehow.
Correct.
And like it was like, it was bobbled and you could feel like
it's almost like he secured it with like 2 yards before the end line, and then he like had another bobble. Like, yeah. I don't know if it was like a quarter turn or whatnot.
That's what I heard. But because he had it secured.
Yeah. The closest thing was it looked like he was playing a game of hot potato with himself.
For sure, over people.
Yes.
But by that time in the game, I ain't gonna tell you no story, Jeffrey. I had flipped my thing into underdog and was rooting for Virginia.
Oh, yeah. No, like, at that point, let's feel the storm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
On Florida State to win early then. But then by the time I was like, oh, shoot, that's— and you're right. I have never seen this. And it didn't look like nobody got hurt. But the ref could barely do this. I know the people can't see me do his hand saying it's not a touchdown before the crowd. That's like— it was on beat the way they came at them stands.
I said, it's one of the most elite field storings I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was like, as soon as the ball went through the end zone, like, it basically would have touched the wall, and they were already running.
Crazy. Because the
ref— and they didn't jump the gun either. Like, that's the thing. Sometimes you'll see Georgia's Ole Miss boys last year, as good as the Georgia win was, you got to dock the fans points. They jumped the gun on the field storming.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
There was like 17 seconds left.
Hello, Georgia.
When Ole Miss beat Georgia last year.
Oh, I thought you were saying Georgia.
Producer George's boys and girls from Ole Miss. Last year when
they
beat Georgia.
The gun pretty bad.
There was 13 seconds left and they just ran onto the field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now,
you
was
had
rough.
Me switching
bad,
you said,
bad time.
No,
like,
it's
Georgia
tough.
Shouldn't run on the
no,
field.
No, no, no.
Nobody, right?
This is what was great about this past weekend, though. We all knew. No field storming. Doesn't matter that LSU was top five.
It's an easy rule. Were you favored?
Thank you. That's what I was saying.
Ole Miss was favored by two. I think, honestly, by game closing, by the time it kicked off, I think it was Ole Miss was favored by 2.5. If you're favored, you can't storm the field.
No.
I think that should be a simple rule.
But most ESPN people that I watched before their game, they said that they still feel LSU was going to win that game.
Yeah, people still think Clemson's good, so...
But LSU is good. They were saying this is the year. They was number four.
Right, but most people still think LSU's good because they beat Clemson.
Ah, okay.
A lot of those same people still think Clemson is good.
Yeah.
They are incorrect.
But I ain't going to lie, I'm a Dabo guy. I think he going to always
Well, you're not as big of a Dabo guy as Kirk is.
Kirk.
Herb Street.
Oh, okay.
Dabo's had some Herb Streets on the roster. Like, that used to always be the indicator of, like, if you laid a big number with Clemson, you knew you were in trouble when you started to see Swinney's enter the field and Herb Street's enter the field. Because it's like, oh, boy, they're taking the foot off the gas. That's another fun one this weekend on the CW. Belichick and Dabo.
Oh.
A game that everyone thought was going to be like a fun big game. Now everyone's like, it's like been exiled to the CW.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been this is ABC great. At night.
Yeah.
We get Belichick, Sweeney.
It's part of why this weekend kind of.
Called by Brennan.
Other than, where's Brennan?
Brennan's on the CW,
I know he is on the CW, but you know, they have like three games. They've added two more? They have at least one Pac-12 game, but I do believe you're right. Brenneman's going to be on the ACC call. It's like Brenneman and...
I don't even know who does caller with him.
I want to say it was like a Florida State linebacker. Because he rotates. Like, it used to be... Like, one year it was like Max Brown, who was like a recruiting superstar and went to USC and maybe played like, I don't know, three games. I remember him being on one... Ryan Leaf's on the Pac-12 CW
really?
Call. Yeah.
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name.
You can get some Ryan Leaf out there. Oh, yeah. He's on the airwaves. CW, when you turn it on, you're like, this is an interesting group of announcers. Like, you're like,
This broadcast is
This broadcast something. Was like brought to you by the random name generator. Like, you might recognize it. None of these people have worked together, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And the picture quality is horrible.
Awful.
Like it is for the old school SEC fans. It is like kind of like watching a JP game. The old Jefferson Pilot game where the screen was so bad it looked like it was snowing.
Yeah.
And like you were wondering if like your antenna was screwed up. Like, nope, that's just the JP difference. Oh, yeah.
Have North Carolina, like, how many games have they won?
They beat Richmond. Oof. I don't think they've won an FBS game.
Mm.
Let's see. I think they're 1-3. And I think their only win is Richmond.
I know they got killed by TCU.
TCU smoked them. UCF smoked them.
Central Florida?
Oh, yeah. Why is that game not pulling up? I thought it was like Clemson minus 14.5. Do they put that super early?
They're 2-2.
So, okay, hang on. Let me see if I can remember who they beat. All right, so we know that TCU smoked them. We know UCF smoked them. They beat Richmond, and then they beat, like,
gotta be a FBC at that point.
No, they've already played their FCS game. Oh, no, I think Richmond moved up. Isn't that right?
Did Richmond move up? I thought the most recent one was Kennesaw.
They played Kennesaw?
No.
He's saying you're correct. I don't know why I thought Richmond was moving up.
Oh, it's an American team.
Oh, they beat Charlotte. That's it. Charlotte. That was his first win.
That was the one. Yeah.
They beat Charlotte. Yeah.
Also,
and it was very unimpressive. And Charlotte's like getting smoked by everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I found Brenneman's co-stars, I guess you could say. It's Will Blackman and Wes Bryant.
Yeah, Wes does sidelines. Will's his in studio,
color.
Whatever. Is in booth announcer. Right? Will played at Florida State, right?
Yeah, you say Will who?
Blackman. Wasn't he a quarterback for like Jimbo? String Beanie?
BC, I thought.
You could have talked me into he played both.
Same color, same conference. Let's see.
Okay, so the. Will Blackman, the safety, played at BC, but I swear to God, I thought there was a Florida State quarterback. Gosh, I want to say it was like Jimbo era. James Blackman. That's what I was trying to think of. That's a very different guy. But he definitely played at Florida State. And he was a – yes, that's it. 6'5", 190.
Lean.
And that's listed at 190.
Probably about a buck 75.
Yeah. There you go. Uh-huh. It's like John Morant saying he's 190. Like, no, you're not. All right, let's go to a different topic because I'm kind of interested to hear your thoughts on this one. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Arkansas football job is the best opening in college football.
So the one.
All right,
that
so you ready? You ready? All right, here's and this is if you want to take it. All right, here you go. I'll list them roughly in order. UCLA, Virginia Tech, Stanford. UCLA, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Arkansas. And I want to say maybe like Kent State. Is that one?
Did Kent State open up?
I think Kent State's technically under an interim, but like that's dead last.
Easy. Easily.
Kent State's the worst job in college football. Oklahoma State.
Oh.
Oklahoma yeah. State.
I'm going to say I'm buying it because of the SEC resources and the things that can be done. Now, even post NIL or I guess past NIL, I just still think that every job in the SEC is not good. And so I don't really like it.
Especially, by the way, keep in mind this, 9-game schedule.
Yes, and they have money down there. For some reason, I don't love Arkansas football. I can be wrong. I don't know. If I was a football coach right now, I would maybe – I know UCLA is a bad job, but just the California thing is something I'm willing to – look at, I think Virginia Tech then lost a lot of steam.
Did you see their who's who of their football search committee? UCLA's. So they're hiring Wasserman, Wasserman.
Yeah.
But also, don't Google his last 18 months. Bob Myers played on the UCLA basketball team. Adam Peters, who Myers was contracted by the Commanders to hire to be their GM, but he went to school there. Then, they had a linebacker from, like, the early 2000s. Like, it was the classic, like...
Gotta have a football player.
The agent that owns the agency, the agent that worked for that agency, the person that was repped by said agent, and then they threw, like, a football player in there, like, okay, that'll throw the scent off that this isn't just an agent, an entire agent ring. And then, like, the whatever their version of the AD is right now. They have, like, a special senior something title for athletics. And it's like, okay. And you threw the AD on there. And it's like, well, that guy's going to have no say whatsoever. He is the ultimate, like, thank you, sir, may I have another. Like, yeah. Just he yeah. is there to co-sign and rubber stamp whatever they decide. But it's also just like, wow.
That's Eric Hendricks. That's who it was.
Hendricks, yeah. And I think he played in like 04, like I want to say like 01. Like I feel like it was like when I was still in high school. He was playing linebacker there. So the problem with UCLA is, and now maybe they're addressing this, but all the reports are they're paying off their university debt with their checks from the Big Ten. So whatever the bare minimum of revenue share, that's what they're going to. So if it, I got to think if it's 22%, that's what they're doing. So to me, it's like one of these things. I'm with you. I'm buying that it is Arkansas right now. I think the question, though, becomes is what else opens? So like, for instance, let's use one name that has been popular in this search. Because the other thing that's great about Arkansas is, like, there's this political dynamic for Arkansas where the Little Rock boosters or power brokers are always against the Northwest Arkansas people, the New Money, Bentonville, Fayetteville, Springdale. I don't know. Dad, help me out. All the other places that you have to go and work. Like, all those places that are, like, new money, super new money. From all the Walmart money that's moved in there. And so, like, they don't ever get along. So the Northwest Arkansas people, Springdale, I can't remember if I said that, they want Rhett Lashley. Rhett played at Springdale. I think, actually, he might have played at Shiloh Christian. Rhett played for Gus before Gus went to Springdale, and I think he was at Shiloh Christian. Rhett was on the Arkansas teams with Matt Jones, hurts his shoulder, graduates, but he's went to Arkansas, an alum of Arkansas. So they want Rhett. But if you're Rhett, don't you have to be kind of giving the side eyes to Auburn? Because he was also the OC there. While they did scapegoat him at one point, I think it's fair to say if you offer me the Auburn or the Arkansas job right now, I think I'd still rather have the Auburn job.
Yeah, yeah, probably so.
Well, obviously. And then also, like, what happens at Florida? Do also some of these other jobs, like, can they pick off somebody from a school already? Would you rather have that? Like, so my thing is, right now, Arkansas, to me, is clearly the best job. But my biggest question is this, kind of the same question you have, which is, okay, everyone tells me they have money, and I can see that they're not hurting for money. But at the same time, the biggest concern that I have is they're trying to win in three sports. They're trying to win in football, they're trying to win in basketball, and they're trying to win in baseball, which is also an ultimate vanity project. I don't know if you can, like, I just don't, Tennessee is doing it to a certain degree, but I think Tennessee has more buy-in, their collective's higher up. Like, I think Tennessee's in a different level than Arkansas. Now, what you can talk me into is, if you can convince all of the corporate money in Northwest Arkansas or throughout the state, well, now all of a sudden Arkansas becomes a better job. But, like, it seems like a lot of Tyson money right now is going to the basketball program.
Yeah, I don't love any of the jobs I'm going to say that you named, to be honest, in 2025.
I'm with you entirely.
I think all of these jobs are probably for, like, whoever the highest mid-major coach is right now, or some OC or DC. I don't really see nobody, they've been able to really take nobody for these jobs. Just like
here, I guess this would be the best spin zone. I'm not saying I agree with this, but this would be what I would presume Arkansas's pitch is. Why can't we do what Ole Miss did? We have more money in state, corporate-wise. Like, we have higher GDP. Like, in this area that we're trying, we have way more money. We don't have to... This can clear NIL go, because if we can get all the corporate people on board and we understand that we were behind, but we're going to get it right with you. That would be their pitch. I'm here and I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
My thing is, Ole Miss also got a really good hell of a coach that was just going in between being at mid-major that had already won national championships. There was an NFL coach. You get what I mean? They kind of found a – what coach right now this mid-major that really was – in that case, I just go with the guy that they – the interim.
Petrino. So the problem is that's the whole political dynamic. Petrino, like the Little Rock people want Petrino. And Petrino has basically been given an audition. The problem is he can't get a new team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, if he goes four, like, that's my thing. It's like, if he wins four games the rest of the way, I think he's getting a job. That's a hell of an if. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's fired the whole defensive staff, but you can't get new defensive players. Like, and what are you going to do? All of a sudden, a bunch of GAs and staffers are now going to have a better defensive scheme? Like,
that's not going to happen. I just always felt, though, Arkansas was only an okay job. I think it was two jobs I hadn't told you, Jeffrey, before, that the coach always does well. This was before they merged. But Wisconsin.
Yep.
I remember they took – that was a hell of a coach. Arkansas took him. He was never the same. And then –
Well, he's back at Illinois. He's doing okay in Illinois.
Oh, that's him, the head coach of Illinois? Yeah. Okay, happy for him.
But to your point, they fired him.
They fired him. And just like – everybody who ever had the Oregon job, most of them are out of work now. So for some reason, that Wisconsin and Oregon job was always a stepping stool, I guess, because Arkansas can pay more money. But me personally, I'd rather take some of them jobs before that, like Wisconsin, something, because it's like, you got to think, at the end of the day, it's the SEC. It ain't number five teams going to be good. I don't care if everybody spent $1 billion. You cannot have 12, 16, 9 great teams. I mean, they are all great, but all of them not going to have super winning records and getting the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of the problem they have is unlike in the Big Ten, there's no one, like, to me, there's really two schools that can pull away from the pack. It's Texas and Texas A&M, but those are historically two schools that have done the least with the most resources. Like, I mean, you think about it, like, how can't you win? Like, those feel like ready-made. They have all the money you could want in the world, massive state, unbelievable in-state talent. Like, you can go and recruit nationally. You can do whatever you want, but those are historically jobs that we always think, like, why can't they do more?
For sure with Texas. Because, I know Texas A&M got a lot of money in Texas, but when you look at Texas, you've just been hearing about they network and network
everything
for so, so long.
Well, then on top of that, it's like all the tech money that's in Austin, all of it. All right, let's take a quick break. Coach mentioned at the top of the show, maybe it was off the air to us, we got Ballin' on Beal. Munz is going to tell us about that. We'll also discuss his mailbag and some of the comments from Penny Hardaway at the Rebounders event earlier this week. Stick around, you'll listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Jason Munz is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Joins us each and every Wednesday now on the program on X at Munzley. Munz, what are we listening to? This sounds like freshman year of college. This is straight off the OC soundtrack.
No, man, this is 2025.
What is this? But I'm saying this sounds like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Hotline TNT. It's called If Time Flies off their new album or newish album, Raspberry Moon. And it's good stuff, I think.
Indie pop. I think that's probably right, right? That's how you'd categorize it? Indie power pop?
I don't know. In a sense, I guess. Their first album was more like true sort of shoegaze. And yeah, I guess this one's a little bit more polished.
Oh yeah, no, this sounds like they had a little bit of a budget.
Yes, definitely.
All right, let's start with the news. I guess it's news in the sense of it's been announced. So whatever we called the artist formerly known as Memphis Madness will now be Ballin' on Beal. Make sure I have the dates right. October 16th. It's a Thursday, 6 p.m., correct?
That is correct.
And in your estimation, what brought about this decision?
That's a good question. I would imagine it was probably a number of things. Obviously everybody knows that it was at FedEx Forum when it was sort of at its peak. It was at when it was at its most popular, it was at FedEx Forum and drew a lot of people. Well, then at some point, about 3 years ago, the school decided, hey, let's make it more, let's bring it to the university and try to get the student body more involved, make it more of a connected to campus, I guess. And they tried to do it outside. And
it was on a Friday, wasn't it? Like, I remember one year it was a Friday at 5, maybe.
I think it was a Saturday, but you're right. It was earlier in the day, and it just did not work. It wasn't full on raining, but it was definitely kind of off and on misting, and it was on campus and it was outside. It just didn't. Project Pat performed, and the team, was they did a meet and greet and autograph session after the introductions and everything else, but that was it. There was nothing else to it. It was just, there was Q&A session, if I remember right. And so there was that, but it just didn't hit right. And so they scrapped that after just 1 year, and they moved it to El Marone, where they did the student madness thing 2 years ago. And that didn't really work. So they rebranded it as the Blue and Gray Showcase last year. And even Penny, that night, I remember he was asked after it was over, and he was like, "No, I'm about ready for this to get back downtown." And so, I mean, like I said, I think it was probably a variety of factors that moved it from where it was to where it is now. I mean, I think it's great. It's the first time it's ever been on Beale Street. I think it's definitely if you're not going to do it inside FedEx Forum, I like this move.
No, I'm with you. Jeff asked me about it this morning, and I said, in general, I am in favor of, hey, if we're going to be in this precarious position where, let's be real, the FedEx Forum lease is certainly in discussions and being currently negotiated, and we need people to go downtown more. I think you're going to need to come up with ideas and events that get people downtown that are, even if they're, it's at 6 p.m. or whatnot, but it's still with the intention of being family-friendly. Have people go downtown, have a good time, and be like, we should do this more. Anything that encourages that, I'm all in favor of. I just think the other reality of it is when we think about the quote-unquote Memphis Madnesses of old, it's like, well, those were very, very expensive enterprises. And to me, this is just an era where I don't think you can be spending all the money to have that kind of night when, let's be real, that money could go to the roster. That money could go to all of the other things that you're having to fund. It's like, I think that this is a better choice that acknowledges where athletic programs are in this day and age.
No, I agree with you 100% on the financial aspect of the whole thing. It was back in the day, it was just sort of this bombastic,
party. I mean, it was every bit of a concert as it was a scrimmage.
Yeah, it was just this extravagant affair, which is really nice. I mean, certainly it was very impressive, and it worked, I think, for what they were trying to do, but it was very expensive. And so,
the other point, sorry to cut you off, but the other point is let's be real. It was also a recruiting event and a recruiting tool. And Penny, I thank him, especially in this day and age where some coaches won't say it. He has been so open about, guys, it's all transactional now. And so it's how much of the massive recruiting extravaganza do you really need? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah. Besides the transactional, tied into that transactional nature of college sports, nowadays, or the majority of it anyway, is like, you're not like, it's just straight. Like, how much can you pay me? That's, you know, this sort of stuff doesn't matter as much to recruits and or players that you already have. Like, that, this stuff just doesn't matter as much anymore. And, you know, if you go back and you sort of look at the way things were trending, like Memphis Madness, for, you know, like, it was mattering less and less to the fans as each year went on. So the way it was, you know, put on before, you know, so it remains to be seen if this will be a hit or not. I mean, obviously it's outdoors, and so, like, you got to deal with the elements. You know, I don't know that, you know, it hasn't been disclosed, like, what sort of contingency they may or may not have if rain becomes enters the equation. But I don't know. I just think the way, you know, the idea, I think, is a good one.
No, I'm with you. Okay, so was Rebounders on Sunday? Is that correct?
The Rebounders. You mean the golf thing?
No. Where did you speak to Penny on Sunday? Right. Wasn't there a media op?
No. He spoke at a thing at the National Civil Rights Museum.
Okay.
Or there was an event at the National Civil Rights Museum. And he spoke there, and we grabbed him before he went in to speak there. And then that was last Thursday. And then there was a Rebounders Club golf tournament on Monday that we also got some time with him.
Okay. So that maybe that's what, because I was like, I'm nearly certain the video that I watched was with rebounding signage, or the Rebounders signage.
Yeah, that was Monday.
Okay. So from that, what did you take away as kind of the most significant thing that he said?
That he's gonna have a starting lineup and a rotation. Like, he's gonna make those decisions, he said it a couple of times, by the end of this week.
Yeah.
Like, he's not messing around. He's getting right to it. He says he knows all he needs to know at this point. I asked him if you know there were any locks at the, you know, like, it was Monday. It was midday Monday. So I asked him if there were any, you know, if there was anybody who was already, like, etched in stone, and he said no, there were not. You know, I mean, that's probably more just sort of.
I thought it was a very good coach answer.
Yes,
but I would find it hard to believe that Doug is not etched in stone.
Exactly. That felt a little bit like coach speak. But yeah, like, that was probably.
It was convincing coach speak from the video.
No, I agree. He came across as very genuine, and maybe in his book, so to speak, that there is nothing etched in stone. But, like, you know, I think once we fast forward to decision time, we know there's a few of them that we know where they're going to be. But no, that was my biggest takeaway, was from the time that we got with him on Monday, was that he was like, I'm not going to wait around. Like, this is not a, you know, we're going to let it play out situation. He's, you know, it's going to be what, October 3rd on Friday. And that'll be 3.5 weeks before the first exhibition game, and still more than a month away from the season opener. And it seems like he's already got, like, he's committed to making up his mind now, rather than waiting any longer. And I think that's both interesting and you know, a good thing.
I think the other thing that caught my attention from the availability is something that we've talked about, so it didn't really come as a surprise, but
right,
it's certainly something that we kind of wondered, or maybe even anticipated. But it seems like he's going to go back to strength in numbers. He's mentioned he's more comfortable coaching that way. Like, it's what he likes to do. When you, I guess, how would you assess that decision? Because, like we said, it didn't really come as a surprise to either of us.
No. I mean, it was pretty clear. Not only, I mean, take a, I mean, obviously there are no walk-ons on this roster. You've got 15 scholarship players. So you've got, you know, you've got more options like you just do compared to years past. And so, you know, that's part of it. But yeah, if you just look at the way things went down last season, you know, he was shorthanded at certain positions. Like, you know, Tyreek Smith takes off the day before the first game or the day of the first game.
Yeah.
I think it might have been the day of the season opener when he actually officially entered the transfer portal, leaving them shorthanded at the four. So they went through the entire season, like, you know, shorthanded. And you know, Dante Harris didn't come into the fold until December or late December, I think it was, mid or late December. So, and then he gets hurt toward the end of the season. Then Tyrese Hunter gets hurt. And so, you know, it was a season where had Memphis been, I think a lot of people, including Penny, feel like if they were at full, if they had more players, if he had more players at his disposal, they could have gone further. They would not have worn down the way they did. And that ultimately cost them, you know, going one and done in the NCAA tournament. So no, it does not, it's no surprise whatsoever that he is saying out loud already, yeah, I'm probably going to go 10 or 11 deep at least. You know, like I have the guys, I have the personnel. So, and like, he hasn't changed the way he likes to play, his philosophy, his approach, and that approach, you need more guys. So yeah, he's gonna he couldn't be who he was. He couldn't coach the way he wanted to coach last season because he was so shorthanded. Well, he's going to take advantage of not being shorthanded anymore and utilize, utilize the numbers that he has. And so, yeah, like it's going to go back to the way it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago when he was running 11 or 12 guys out there.
I guess the only hesitation I have, though, is how much of it was shorthanded versus, like, not only did your starting point guard get hurt, your backup point guard got hurt. Like, to me, it's almost like I understand the frustration, but I don't know. To me, it's almost like I really even – remind me, I'm blanking on the backup point guard that got hurt as well. Yeah. I swear if he plays the game against Colorado State, they win. But it was just the fact that – it was the fact that they did not have either point guard. And they just – you saw in the second half, like in the first half, Haggerty was able to be effective enough, but it was almost like in the second half, just because they could not get set and Colorado State recognized that and took advantage of that, that was the problem. I don't really feel like it was necessarily the fact that, you know, they really had an 8-man rotation or 9-man rotation.
Don't forget. So a couple of things. Don't forget that, and Penny, because Penny talked about this a lot, or not a lot, but multiple times out loud, that he was holding Tyrese Hunter and PJ Haggerty out of practice. More Tyrese Hunter earlier in the season.
Yeah. Yes. Now. Yes.
To like, because they had like lingering little.
It was literally like load management.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. And I think he was doing that because, A, they were a little bit dinged up. They did get dinged up early on, and he wanted to, like, do his best he could to – and that was another big talking point last season. Like, those guys were having to play 35-plus minutes a game. Every single game, those guys were out there for so long, and throw in Kobe Rogers in that mix. That was the other point I was going to make. Like, it wasn't just a lack of depth at certain position or at, like, you know, at the key positions late in the season. Like, who was Kobe Rogers' backup last year? I don't even remember. And when he got sort of dinged up here and there, it was a little bit like, oh, it's a little nervous time because, you know, again, who was going to come in for him? And, you know, Nick Jordan didn't have, there wasn't a true backup four but they were able to sort of kind of get away with it by playing Dane and Musa together. Neither one's really a four, but they could get away with it because both of them were older and skilled enough to do that. And so, you know, I do agree with you that, like, it does feel more like they were shorthanded in because of the key moments where they were in the conference tournament without Dante Harris, and then in the NCAA tournament without him and Tyrese Hunter. But no, there was, it was, you know, I think a lot of that stuff has played into his decision to kind of load up at every position. I mean, you look at it up and down the roster, Doug McDaniel, Curtis Gibbons III, and Quante Berry. Like, he's got three point guards who are accomplished, who are proven to a certain extent. Obviously, Curtis Gibbons did not, you know, have the greatest season from a stats standpoint at LSU last season. And then Quante Berry, yeah, he averaged 12 points a game, but it was at Temple and it wasn't the American. But like, you know, he's got the depth, and I think much of how the season played out last season is informing his like, okay, now that season's over with. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen again.
All right, Munns, we appreciate it, my man.
All right, thanks, Jeffrey.
Jason Munns, Memphis Tigers beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, let's get into the list. Got two interesting rankings of quarterbacks from college football. Also get into the Major League Baseball playoffs. We've got an interesting new mentor for Diego Pavia. All of that and more during hour number two. Stick around and listen. Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.